I mean, I'm so glad you guys are here. We're going to have a great time today. We've been in the middle of this series for 2 weeks now. This is our third week in this series called Purple People Leader. And I have to explain it every week because some of you guys, you know, this is your first week and you're like, what in the world is a purple people leader? Why are we talking about this? Are we the Vikings defensive line? No, we're not. We're not playing football. But here's the point of this series we've been in for the past 2 weeks. Here's what we've discovered. We've discovered that God has created each and every one of us in this room. He's created us to play a special, unique role in His story. Every single one of us have been molded. He carefully crafted us. He took our hurts, our pains, our experiences. He took the gifts we have, the strengths. He took all that stuff, and He shaped us into a perfectly fit instrument that He can use to change the world. And we've been looking at this one verse basically for the whole series. It's Ephesians 2:10. It's going to be on the screen. It says this. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." And for the past 2 weeks, I've been explaining what it meant to be that masterpiece. How God created you. How He shaped you. How He molded you. How each and every one of you in this room is uniquely gifted, uniquely talented to play a part in the redemption of humanity. Each one of you are designed to change the world. And I know we don't always feel that way. Sometimes we get run down. But I'm here to tell you, that is what God created you to do. And today is kind of where the rubber meets the road. I've been spending 2 weeks talking about what God did and how He created us, how He shaped us, how He molded us. And today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at what He wants us to do because of what He's done. Because we are His masterpieces, it says right there, we're going to talk about the good things He planned for us long ago. Because hear me. Hear this. If you hear nothing else today, hear this. Okay? It's not just about what God's done in us or even what He's done to us. It's about what He wants to do through us to transform a world around us. That's the point. That's the deal. That's what matters. We aren't a masterpiece just for being a masterpiece's sake. We're a masterpiece. We're a perfect creation of God so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. And I don't know about you, but if I could sign up right now and someone could tell me, I'm going to guarantee you have a life that is the most fulfilling, the most rewarding. You're going to be used beyond your wildest imagination. You're going to be used literally to transform lives. You're going to be used to change the world. I think I'd sign up. I think I'd want to be a part of that. My prayer is after today, you will as well. And here's how God does it. God does it because as He molds and shapes each one of us, He puts us together into a team. And so what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about being a purple team. How many of you guys still have your cows out, by the way? Oh, clap. I can't see you. Raise your hands. Awesome. Awesome. We got purple cows all over Myrtle Beach, and it's so fun. Anyway, that's a completely side note. Question for you guys as we dive into the message here. How many of you have had, and again, you got to clap because I can't see if you raise your hand because these lights are really bright, seen the movie Miracle with Kurt Russell about the 1980 U.S. hockey team? Y'all are just liars. What? Y'all see, or you at least know the story, right? 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team. Do you believe in miracles? Yes. Really? I don't understand what's happening right now. Remember last week when I talked about encouraging listeners? None of you are being that right now. All right, anyway, the story of the 1980 hockey team is very interesting. The head coach was a guy named Herb Brooks, and Herb had this interesting concept, all right? He had studied the Russians and a lot of the Eastern European teams, and that's who you had to beat to place at the Olympics, and especially if you want to win a gold medal. And what he had discovered was the only way the U.S. was going to beat the Russians was if they changed the way they played. They literally had to play different. And so what he did is as he did tryouts and all that kind of stuff, he came in and he built his team not around the best players. He actually really hated all-star teams. He couldn't stand them. Because that's what the U.S. Olympic Committee wanted him to do. They wanted him to just build an all-star team of all the best hockey players in college at the time and put them together and play the Russians. He said, no, that won't work. We can't have a bunch of all-stars. I want the guys that are going to play the best together. I want the guys that are going to be the best team. They're going to be the most cohesive unit. They're all going to play their parts. They're all going to do what they have to do. And if we all do, we're going to win. And you all know the story. They did win. They beat the Russians. Yay. And then they eventually won. They won the gold medal. And here's why. It's not because they had the best players. Because they didn't. He had easily left off some of the best players at the time that were available for the U.S. Olympic team. He had left them off the team. He didn't want them. But what they had done is each member of the team had put the team above themselves. They had said, I'm going to work as hard as I can to discover my place, to discover my role, to discover what it is I can do on this team that nobody else can do. And I'm going to do that to the best of my ability. And then at the end of the day, if we win, that's all I care about. I'm going to play my part to make sure the team succeeds. And what we're looking at today, what we're trying to unpack, what I believe God has designed the church to be is that team. The church is designed, again, church is not somewhere you go, it's something you are. We are all the church if we follow Jesus. The church is designed to be that place where we all come together with our strengths, with our gifts, with our abilities, and we all act as one cohesive unit, get this, to change the world. Change the world. And it works because it's worked for 2,000 years. And I believe it's going to work here in Myrtle Beach. I believe that's God, what God wants to do right here in Myrtle Beach. So if you have your Bibles today, go ahead and open them up. We're going to start in Ephesians, and we're going to kind of jump around today. So if you're a note taker, just be ready, because I'm kind of going to throw a lot of scripture at you today, mainly because today is really important. And so I'm kind of footnoting my arguments today, so you can't ever walk out and be like, he just made that up. No, I didn't make it up. I didn't make it up. Didn't make it up. Didn't make it up at all. But Ephesians 4 is where we're going to start. It's kind of going to be our anchor text, all right? It's Ephesians 4, 16. It's one verse. That's where we're going to be. I'll tell you up on the screen. Here we go. This is what Paul says about what God does to us. This is what he does to the church. Here we go. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That's a purple team. That's where we're going. So let me, we're just going to basically walk through this verse. Now I'm going to unpack it and try to help you. I say unpack a lot, I've been told. Sorry, I don't know what else to say. Here we go. I got a lot to get to today. Here we go. First thing I need to do, just very quickly, because I know some of you in the room are checking out this God thing and you don't really understand what I mean when I say body of Christ. You're like, what in the world does that mean? The Bible refers to the church. It refers to, and again, the church meaning every person on the planet that has begun a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the big church, all right? And the Bible calls us the body of Christ because the Bible literally says that the church is God's representative to humanity. When Jesus came, he was God's representative to humanity. He came, lived a perfect sinless life, died, 3 days later rose again, and then hung out with some of his guys for a little while longer. Then he said, you know what, dudes? It's in your hands. I'm gone. And he's up in heaven hanging out, cheering us on, loving everything that happens. But what he said is, it's in your hands. You will be my hands. You will be my feet. You will represent me to a lost world that desperately, desperately needs me. And that's us. We're the body of Christ. Okay? Means when people see the church, when people see us, they should see Jesus. But they don't always. I have a message called Lots of Christians Get on My Nerves. Go back and listen to it. I'll tell you all about it. Okay. This is another way Paul describes the church. Let me go ahead and read you this verse too. This is 1 Corinthians 12:27. Like I said, don't try to turn, just write it down. It says this, all of you together, again meaning everyone who follows Jesus, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Okay, so there you go. That's what it means. That's the body of Christ. Here we go. So now we're going to dive into the actual passage. First part there. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. I actually unpacked this last week. He does this by uniquely shaping each of us. And he does this through our strengths, our heart, our abilities, our personality, and our experiences. And I didn't tell you this last week, but maybe you noticed there that actually spells out shape. It's an acrostic. It's fantastic, right? I didn't make that up, by the way. But he does. He shapes us into the people he wants us to be. Like I said, I covered this extensively last week. If you want to go grab the podcast, you can do it iTunes. Just search for Wellspring Church, and there we are. But here's the nugget. If you missed last week, here's the point of last week. And it's that those things, our strengths, our heart, our abilities, our personality, our experiences, God has been at work in our lives in all of those areas. And through those areas, he literally has shaped us into the unique person that we are. And what he's telling us in this verse is he wants to take your piece, your shape, and bring it together with everybody else's and fit it together perfectly. Because he did it. He's the one who molded you. He's the one who shaped you. He knew where he wanted you to play your part before you did. He's been at work long before you even had an idea that God existed. Some of you right now don't believe in God. But guess what? He's still shaping you. He is. Because his heart is for every person to begin a relationship with him and to be a part of changing the world. So there you go. You're being shaped today, whether you know it or not. The question is, are we going to plug in and play our part? Here we go. The next verse says this. It says, as each part does its own special work. I'm just going to warn you, I have a lot to say about this. This right here, I could preach, I say this all the time, I could preach the whole message just on those, I mean, is that 1, 2, 3, 4? 8 words. Just on those 8 words. As each part does its own special work. Because, see, this tells me a few things. One, it tells me we weren't shaped just arbitrarily. All right? Everything that's happened is for a reason. We weren't, hear me today, we weren't shaped, we weren't designed to show up on a Sunday morning 10 minutes late, get some coffee, like the music, kind of tune out to the message, and then go home. And that be your church experience. And then you go around saying, oh, yeah, yeah, I go to that church. I'm a part of that church. It's not what you were designed for. You're missing out if that is what you think of as church. If you think of church as this thing you do, let's be honest, twice a month, and you stamp your book and say, well, I went, like a passport, and then you go home and just live your life, never conscious of what God wants you to do, you're missing out. You're missing out on what he has actually created you to be. You're missing out on the role he's created you to do. Because you weren't designed for that. You were designed for good works. You were designed for the things he planned for you long ago. In other words, you were designed to use your gifts, strengths, talents, to use your shape, to play a vital role at this church to transform Myrtle Beach. You were. I know what you're thinking. Wait a minute. You keep saying these words. You keep saying work. You keep saying work from church. Work from church. Work at church. I thought ministers were the ones who did the work at the church. Right? I mean, that's how I grew up. The ministers do the work, right? And you know what I'd say to you today? You're exactly right. The ministers do the work of the church. Just one little problem. I believe, because the Bible teaches it, if you are a Christ follower, if you have begun a relationship with Him, guess what? You're a minister. Not just me. You are a minister. Look at what 1 Peter 2:9 says. This is about all of us. It says, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called out of the darkness into this wonderful light. You see that? You are a royal priesthood. So side note, you don't need a priest. You are a priest. Okay? You don't need anybody to intercede between you and God. You are a priest. You can stand before God and talk to Him directly. And that means you can be His representative to a lost and hurting world. You are ministers. Let me make this a little clearer for you, all right? At Wellspring, we believe that every person that follows Jesus is a minister. A minister called to do ministry. To do ministry. Every single one of you. You've been designed. Now, you don't know what it is yet. That's fine. I understand. We're still in the middle of this process of figuring out how you're designed, how you're shaped, where you're going to fit. I get that. You aren't supposed to know yet how it all fits. Because that is my job, and Eric's job, and TJ's job. It is the staff of Wellspring Church. Our job isn't to do the ministry for you. It's to equip you and unleash you to minister to those around you. That's why in Ephesians 4:12 it says this, talking about the staff, talking about me and Eric and TJ, it says their responsibility, hear this, is to equip God's people, God's people's you, to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So you hear that? I know that is mind-blowing for some of you guys today. But you've got to hear it. My job as the pastor of Wellspring Church is not to do all the ministry of Wellspring Church. My job is to train you and to equip you and to unleash you to do the ministry of Wellspring Church. And here's why. You know a lot of people I don't know. You have access to situations I never will. Many of you are better than I am at a great number of things. Chief among them, probably social situations. I'm terrible. I'm just awful at it. I shared that last week. But that's how it works. That's how you play your part. You got to discover how it is you fit, and you got to embrace it, and you got to love it, and you got to rock at it. And when you do, God's going to use it to change the world, because that's the way the church works. When each one of us does our special work, another side note, not someone else's work, not someone else's shape, not someone else's design, but your design. A lot of times what happened, this happened 2,000 years ago in the church. Paul had to address it, and it still happens today. Sometimes we don't like our shape. We don't like our gifts. We don't like the fact that we are perfectly equipped to do a job that no one's ever going to clap for. Because, man, the clapping looks fun. That looks great. I want to do that. But what God is pleading for us is He's saying, no. You got to be like the 1980 hockey team, man. You got to discover your role. You got to discover your place. You got to discover where you fit. And then you can change the world. And what I'm about to do, I can't believe I'm going to do, but I'm doing it because I love you. And I'm going to illustrate this point to you in a very embarrassing way. Many of you don't know this. I'd say none of you do. I have a secret desire. Something, a gift that I wish I had that I don't. Something I've always wanted. I want to be a rock star. Very badly. In my car, on occasions, I am a rock star. but not so much in real life. Sometimes I look at TJ and I'm just like, man, I wish I could play the guitar like that. I wish I could sing like that. It's just not fair. Because I do, man. I want to be on American Idol. I want Simon to be like, that was brilliant. You're the best. You know? I want to make David Hasselhoff cry. I do. But because of that, as a kid, I really didn't have, you know, a lot of musical talent. But I had just enough to be dangerous. You know all that? You know, people who are just have just enough knowledge to be dangerous with it. So what I did is I taught myself a few things. I taught myself how to play the guitar a little bit. And I actually taught myself how to play the piano. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. And what I'm going to do now is I'm actually going to share it with you. My piano playing. And some of you think this is a joke. It's not a joke. I'm really going to play. And I really need you to sing along, because otherwise you'll hear me singing and we just won't be able to make eye contact ever again. Any of us. And I think we want to make eye contact. So here we go. I'm going to play a song, and I think you're all going to know it. It's Imagine by John Lennon. And please sing along, because if you don't, like I said, it'll be painful, you know, if you don't sing along. So hold on, we're going to go straight to the chorus. Ready? Here we go. Imagine all the people living for today. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. Y'all aren't singing. Well, I hope someday you'll join us. And we'll live as one. All right. No. See, that's posing. That's wanting to have a gift. I've asked Paul to come up here to illustrate this point even better. Hello, Paul. How are you?
All right, how you doing?
Okay. I'm very impressed with my song, Imagine. I'm very impressed I can play it. Can you play Imagine? Okay. You can play Imagine. But you probably practiced that for like a month, right?
I haven't played that in several years.
Oh, I haven't played it in several years. Okay. Well then, okay, let me see. What have you practiced? What can you do?
Something I haven't played in a few months, I can give a shot.
But try it out, man. Yeah. Really? Really? This is what you... Yeah, okay, you're done. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Hey, would you like to preach? That's what I thought. Let's thank Paul, everybody. Thank you, Paul. Obviously, Paul is gifted to play that piano. I'm not. Can I fake it? Can I be a poser? Can I be a wannabe for one song, possibly? Probably not. Some of you are like, no, you didn't fake it very well. No. But that's all I got. That is it. That's the one card I can play. And some of us have that one card we can play. Because, man, that's what we want to do. That looks fun. A lot of you, man, you want to be on the stage so bad, and you want to sing. But you can't sing. But you want to be able to sing. But you can't. We have to. I can't believe I played the piano. I can't believe I did that. Here's the deal. We have to embrace who we are. We have to embrace how we're designed, how we're created. All right. There are people in this room who are designed, and they like getting up early and showing up here at 7:30 because they have fun. And they like setting up this sound and these lights and all this stuff. We have people in this room, and I don't understand them, but they were designed, and they like holding babies. Other people's babies. I don't mind my own. I don't want to hold yours. I don't. Not interested in it. But here's the deal. Those people, they never get thanked. Nobody ever walks up to the guy who set the lights up and are like, man, I just want to tell you, you changed my life today. Thank you. That was awesome. I just, whoo, those lights. Those lights, man. That was just, the way you held my baby, whoo. just, it moved me. You know, we don't get that. But I'm here to tell you today, without setup, without lights, there'd be no music, there'd be no sound system, you'd be able to hear me. There'd be no coffee. There'd be no coffee. We got to play our part. I want to read you a passage of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. Starting in verse 12, he says this. He says, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. And if the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? Verse 18, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. Hear me today. Cherish your gifts. Cherish your shape. Your design. Because your design is unique. Your design was created by the Master and the King and the Creator of the universe to play a role in His story. That's what you have to embrace. One last point about this passage. About this verse. I just want you to notice, it didn't say if each part does its own work. And it didn't say, hopefully, if they're not too busy and they can fit it in between their vacations and their soccer games and their late nights and their work conflicts and their tea times and their birthday parties, hopefully, they can fit in a little work for me. God doesn't really, it got quiet in here. God doesn't really leave this open to debate. He's not really asking. He's telling us. He's saying, if you have a relationship with me, you have a role to play. If you're a follower of Christ, you are a minister. You need to get equipped. You need to play your role. And here's why. Here's why. The next sentence in that passage, here's why. It's because it helps the other parts grow. Plain and simple. If you don't play your role, I can't play mine. Okay? I know I'm the lead pastor, and everybody's like, oh man, Trey, yeah, blah, 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 the music's so great, blah, blah, blah. You know what? None of that would happen without tons of you playing your part. Okay? I'm not better than you. I spent a whole series basically confessing that I'm not at all better than you. I'm just playing the role God called me to play. This is the role He's called me to play. He's gifted me to teach and He's gifted me to lead. That's the role He's called me to play. But I cannot do it without people who are called to take care of babies. And without people who are called to run cable and set up. Without people who are called to stand outside and greet. And it's kind of easy to greet right now, but you should have been here in January. When it was crazy cold and raining. And we still have people out there every week smiling. They lost a few fingers, but it's okay. They'll get them back in heaven. When we all play our part, it helps the other parts grow. We're a team, man. We've all got to play our part. And it should be pointed out that not only does it help others grow, but it also helps you grow. It helps you grow in your relationship with God. How many of you guys have ever heard of the Dead Sea? You ever heard of the Dead Sea? Maybe you have some beauty products from there, some salt products. Guys, let me tell you about the Dead Sea. Shocking. Let me explain it to you. Nothing lives in it. It's dead because they creatively named it the Dead Sea. But here's the question. Do you know why it's dead? You know why the Dead Sea? Some of you do, apparently, because you're whispering to each other. It's dead because of this. Yes, it's dead because of salt. But here's why it has so much salt. Okay, the Dead Sea, the Jordan River flows into it. There's a few other small little tributaries that flow into the Dead Sea. But nothing flows out. It's completely landlocked. It's not like any other lake where it flows in and then it flows out and continues to the ocean. That's not the way the Dead Sea works. The Dead Sea is completely landlocked. It has all this stuff flowing in. And so as all this water flows in with all these different minerals, over 35 different minerals flow into the Dead Sea. Good stuff. Healthy minerals. 35, man, flowing into the Dead Sea. But then it gets trapped in there. It has no way to get out. And so what happens is it's really hot there, and so the water actually evaporates. When the water evaporates, the minerals remain. And that's why the Dead Sea is like 20 times more, has more salinity than any other body of water. You can literally, I've never been, but I've seen pictures, you can literally like float in that. It's almost like jello. It kind of freaks me out. But that's why it's dead. Because it gets flowed into and flowed into and flowed into, but it never flows out. And some of you already know where I'm going. And if you don't, watch your toes. Some of you guys are the Dead Sea. I mean, you get flowed into like crazy. I mean, you have it down to a science. You attend church here, unless there's a better speaker somewhere else, and then you go there because you want to hear that guy or the music is there. You're in maybe one, maybe two Bible studies a week. You take really good notes, man. You go to a Wednesday night deal somewhere else. You praise and love it. Maybe you go to a Sunday night thing. You know, you got all this stuff down. You were just, it's just coming in, coming in, coming in, coming in, coming in, coming in. You're what I call church consumers. And what you're consuming isn't bad. None of it is bad. But neither are the 35 minerals coming into the Dead Sea. But they're still dead. The sea is still dead. Because nothing is flowing out. Here's what you got to hear. God wants to pour into you. He does. He wants to pour into you. He wants you to go to places where you hear from Him and where you hear messages and where you enjoy the music and go to Bible studies and those things. But He wants to pour into you so that He then can flow out of you. He pours in so He can flow out because He wants to transform those around. In, out, around. But if we don't jump in, if we don't discover our place, if we don't start serving, if we don't start doing the things He's planned for us long ago, then we just end up like the Dead Sea. Tons of good minerals in us, but completely useless. Completely ineffective. Because we're not flowing out. So you do with that what you will. That was just a message God asked me to pass along this week. Let's wrap up. This is how Paul ends this verse. It not only helps the other parts grow, it's so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. See, as we each play our part, the whole body grows. And that means we reach more and more people for Jesus. That's what it means for the body to grow. It doesn't mean that, oh, well, I know more Bible now. That's great. But if you learn more Bible for Bible's sake, Dead Sea. Learn more Bible so that you become more like Jesus so that you can train more people. Here's the closing pitch here, all right? This is what all this means. It means it's time for many of you in this room to stop sitting on the sidelines, to stop getting fed, and to jump in. To get in the game, to play your part, to discover your role in seeing a city and a region transformed for Jesus. God shaped you, He's designed you, He's ready to do it. He's ready to see people that have never before, people you have never imagined in your life, people who you know, who you can't fathom, ever falling in love with Jesus. God's up there thinking, I'm ready to do it. I've been positioning you your whole life to play this role and seeing them come to me. your whole life, even the bad stuff. I've been positioning you. So the question is, will you jump in? Will you play your part? Because it's not going to happen until you do. Because God did not design this to work just because me and Eric and TJ and a few other people get really excited about it. It's all of us. It's every person who's going to call Wellspring home. It's every person who's never heard of Wellspring yet, but in 2 years they're going to be serving here. And they're going to be singing, and their hands are going to be raised, and they're going to be weeping because they can remember what it was like 2 years ago when they didn't know God. And they're going to be so thankful that someone decided to show up early and play their part and set up the lights. And they're going to be so thankful that they were able to focus in the room because they knew someone was taking care of their child. And they're going to be so thankful that as they walked in the door, they were terrified, didn't know where to go, but there were three people in awesome t-shirts there greeting them and pointing them the way. And in 2 years, they're going to be able to look back and they're going to be, thank you, God, that people played their part so that you could change my life. That's how it gets real. That's what we're really talking about. It's each of us being purple people leaders. It's each of us stepping up and playing our part. I want to close today with another story of a young lady in our church who has stepped up and who is playing her part. So let's check it out.
I currently serve mainly in the wake-up zone, and I'm also a greeter on the welcome committee. We also have a Bible study at my house every other week. I really enjoyed both the wake-up zone and Bible study. Bible study has given me a chance to meet and come very close to several women that go to our church. Wake-up zone's the same way. I have gotten to know other people in the church. In the past, I've been guilty of just hiding out in church. Just go to church, leave right afterwards, not really get to know anyone, and miss out on the fellowship. And serving really has given me that opportunity. I would say to someone who's considering serving, just to jump in, pick something that you're interested in. I like the wake-up zone because, I don't know if I should admit this, but I like the organizing part of it. But I do like cooking for people and preparing food for people and coming up with different ideas of trying different things. And so I think that's important, to pick something that you're interested in. And also, it may involve getting up a little bit earlier, but it's so worth it. So worth it.
Yeah, we can thank Kathleen. Thank Kathleen for that. That was awesome. I'm telling you, it's in you. Every single one of you. It's in you. And I know it not because I know you, but because I know the God who created you. And the God who created you says that you are His masterpiece. You are His workmanship that He prepared a long time ago for the good works. I know that to be true. So my question today is, will you let Him? Will you let Him play the part He wants to play? He wants to use you to change the world. Why would you not? Why would you not? For some of you, what you need to do right now is you need to get out your connection card. And you need to, well, actually, you don't even need a connection card because it's today. You need to come to Starting Point. Starting Point's today. It's right after we dismiss. And Starting Point is an environment we've created for people to kind of take the next step here at Wellspring. We kind of give you a little vision. And we begin the journey of discovering your shape, to figure out your best place to fit, to play your role. We provide a meal, we provide childcare, and you do not need to have RSVP'd. If you have, that's awesome. If not, we've prepared for you as well. So as soon as we dismiss, walk out this door, go to the info center, get your map, and go. Love to have you there. Others of you, you've been a Starting Point, but you're still sitting on the sidelines. You just need to check on your connection card. I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to dive in. And we'll help you figure out where it is you fit, what your shape is. I've said this a few times. I believe God wants to do something insane in Myrtle Beach. I believe God wants to do something that none of us can ever be able to take credit for, that none of us will ever be able to explain, other than God moved and we listened. And I want to be a part of that. I want to be able to look back and say, my life counted. My life mattered. I didn't just make a bunch of money. I had an eternal impact. And I think you do too. I think you want to be able to say that. Because I know God does. I know God put it in you. I want us to be a purple team. I want us all to play our part so that God can transform this place. Ian, you want to do it? Starts now. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for the privilege and honor we have of serving you. Lord, just move in our hearts. Show us who we are, how we fit. Show us our role in your story. It's in your name. Amen.